morning. Our Bible this morning is James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing.
Well, good morning. Good to see all the smiling faces here. Everyone's got a smile. Before we start, I'm going to ask the Lord just to bless what he's given me today and open our hearts to his word. Heavenly Father, we just come before you to learn what you have, Lord, what you've given me to say. Be with every word I say, every word I say, Lord, let it be praise to you. Open our hearts to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about obedience or disobedience. Ever trouble with that? Ever struggle with that? Satan said two words five times. I will. And for that disobedience, he was cast down from heaven. Jesus saw it as a lightning bolt. And for that disobedience, he's going to suffer the consequences of eternal punishment. And all those who follow him are there as well. In Genesis 3, verse 6, second record of disobedience, when Satan tempted Eve with the tree of life, she said, "I want, I need, looks good, I would like it." And for that disobedience, we have all are paying the consequence of that. And that's eternal as well, unless we know the blood of Jesus Christ as our Savior. From Genesis all the way through the Revelation, are stories upon stories upon stories of men and women, prophets, kings, and even nations of people who have disobeyed and suffered severe consequences for that. Yet there are three times more stories of the blessings of obedience, God's redemption, and God's gift of eternal life through obedience. As a believer in Christ, we are called to a life of obedience. But we do have a choice. We have what is called a free will, right? We can choose either one. The most popular book and the least understood book in the Bible is Jonah. Now, some people don't take Jonah seriously. They say, honestly, how could a man live on a fish for 3 days? Seriously? And some say that Nineveh repented because there was a solar eclipse, like before or after Jonah was there, or some earthquake, or there's some other reason. Or they say Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days, and the stomach acid bleached his hair white, and his skin was white, so he scared people in Nineveh to repent. But the disbeliefs and false stories of that obscure the true message and meaning of Jonah. A little history. Jonah was a real guy. He's a real dude. Just like us. He had worries, concerns. He ate, he slept. He was what they called a historical prophet. And Jesus refers to him in Matthew 12 and Luke 11. So Jonah, if we can believe Christ, he talked about Jonah. So Jonah was a real guy. Here's some facts about Jonah. He lived around 700 B.C. And he lived in a town called Gath Hepher, which is about 3 miles north of Nazareth. And, you know, God came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and says, Jonah, I need you to go up to the city of Nineveh and preach against the city because their sin has come before me. Now, Nineveh was about 500 miles kind of north, northeast up in Assyria up there. But Jonah, what did Jonah do? We all know the story. God sends him this way. Jonah turns around. He goes this way, 180 degrees in the opposite direction than he was told to go. Now, his plan was this, simple. He says, well, you know, I'm going to go down to Joppa and get a ticket on a boat, and then I'm going to sail across the Mediterranean Sea directly west, which is about over 2,000-mile boat ride. Okay? And in those days, they had sails, so it wasn't a quick ride. So here's the prophet Jonah. Now, why would he flee from God's calling? Why? Well, the story is, or the truth is that he didn't like the Ninevites. Because the Ninevites were up in Assyria, and from time to time, the Assyrian armies and stuff would war against Israel. So he thought the Ninevites were bad people. He didn't like them. So his plan was, if he could just disappear long enough, then God would judge Nineveh and wipe out the city. And that's what he wanted. That's what he was looking for. But we know how the story goes. So as we look at the story of Jonah, we have to look at it through a mirror. Because it's really and truly a story about all of us. We do the same thing Jonah did. So the question is this about people in Nineveh. Have any of us ever judged someone else who we didn't like? Maybe they think differently than we do. Maybe they believe differently than we do. Or they behave differently. Or even someone who's offended us. Have we ever felt that someone was not worthy of God's salvation and Christ's forgiveness? We probably have from time to time. And we think that, you know, they're so bad that I know that their judgment's coming. That kind of gives a little bit of satisfaction to pass them off as they're not worthy. So why did Jonah leave for 6 months? Because that's probably what I figured. He was about 100 miles from Joppa, from where he lived. And then across the Mediterranean Sea was probably a 4 or 5 month journey. And so if you look at what he did and what we do, he kind of just wanted to be busy. Because we've all traveled, right? Taking trips across the country. When you're traveling, you're doing stuff. You're always thinking the next stop, the next place to get gas. Where are we going to stay the night? What do we want to see? So you're just getting busy when you're traveling. And Jonah, he could have just stayed home. But he decided to take this long journey so he could be busy. Because if we're busy, we're not thinking about what the Lord wants us to do. And he didn't have to think about what he was running from. So if we look through this story through a mirror, which is a reflection of us, we do the same thing. You know we should get up in the morning and spend some quiet time in the Lord's word, prayer. Just put him first in our life, right? That's, we know we should do that. But just like Jonah, we kind of get busy. We get busy, cup of coffee. We get busy on the internet, just looking for the next flip of the finger, what means something to us. Then it's, well, we got to clean the house. We got to do the laundry. We got to wash the car. We got to mow the lawn. We just get busy with life. Got to go to work. And the next thing you know it, we are lost the day. I mean, we've probably all gone some days where we go a day or a week or even a month. Maybe we don't even open the Bible except for coming to church. Because we're just busy. Now, what happens when we get busy? Here's what happens when we get busy. So, you know, I've heard teachers and pastors tell me that when the Bible mentions a word like three times, it repeats the word, that's important. You should listen to that word because it's telling us something. Well, here's a little fact in Jonah. In Jonah, there's one word repeated five times and another word repeated four times in four chapters. Now, if you read Jonah, it's just a four-chapter story, but there's so much in there. So the first word that's mentioned that many times is the word down. Chapter 1, verse 3, and then in 5. So here's the story. It says, Jonah goes down to Joppa. And then Jonah buys a ticket, goes down into the ship. And then Jonah goes down into the bottom of the ship, and Jonah lays down to sleep. Four times. Now, God could have just said Jonah bought a ticket and is going to Tarshish, right? So why do we have these words in there? And the last down is when he's down in the belly of the whale below the waves. So the picture, this is a picture of the downward progression of someone going deeper and deeper to the depths of sin. And every step that Jonah took him deeper. And every step that he took, just like we, our heart gets a little harder. God says we have a heart of stone, right? It doesn't become stone all the way. It can go in a progression into a heart of stone. So here's the picture. Down, 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 just like us. The lower you go, the deeper we go, and the longer we go in the path of sin and disobedience, the greater the consequences we will pay. We all probably have stories about that. Remember I said that everything Jonah did, we do? So everything God did in Jonah's life, he does in ours, doesn't he? I'm sure many of you have seen that show Chopped on TV. You know, where you got your cooks and you got the judges and you have the basket of goodies. Well, here's a picture of that. So they have a basket of goodies. They have a certain amount of time to make this fantastic dish, and they're going to get judged on it. So they're busy looking at all the ingredients, and they put everything together, and they're working on it, and it's making it smell good and look good. And all of a sudden, the host says, what? Time's up, right? Time's up. And they stand back and throw their hands up. You know what? You got the picture? When we turn our lives and go opposite to what we should be doing, we are telling God, time's up. And he stepped back because he can't work in a sinful, rebellious life. So we, in essence, tell him to leave me alone. I'm going to go my own way for a while. But does God leave us? Absolutely not. What does God do? If you look at Jonah's story or ours, God begins to work on the perimeter of our lives. He can't work in our hearts because we have separated ourselves with sin. So he begins to do whatever he can to move heaven and earth through all his powers to bring us back to him. Jonah was just one guy, and what did he do? He didn't abandon Jonah. Through events and circumstances and people, he brings us back to him. Jonah and God controlled all the events in his life by bringing up a wind and waves and tossing that boat around until it was ready to break up until all the sailors were starting to throw stuff overboard. So the other story about that is that there's consequences to those around us when we are in sin. Just like the sailors, their lives were at risk because of Jonah. And he admitted to them, I'm running from God who made heaven and earth. Okay? Now, even through those circumstances, God brought the sailors to him. If you read the story, they took vows because they met the living God through Jonah's mistakes. Jonah had gone down so deep in his heart that he says to throw me overboard. He was willing to die in the ocean than repent. Think about that. Now, for me, I think when he were getting ready to pick me up and toss me over the side of that boat, and I saw these 6-foot waves, I figured maybe that's the time I would say, I'm sorry, but not Jonah. So the other thing you want to remember is the longer you take to repent and the further we go into that walk of disobedience, the greater and more drastic the events that God will use to bring us back. You know, might be something serious. So remember that when I said repeated, that word was repeated. We got to listen to it. So the second word in this story is prepared, or in the ESV standard, I use New King James, is appointed. So everything that God had to bring Jonah back was prepared by God in advance. He prepared a great fish. Then he prepared a plant. Remember, the plant grew up overnight, gave him shade. Then he prepared a hot east wind. Then he prepared a worm. All to bring Jonah back. Now, the other thing that's beyond Jonah is that the real part of the story is that it's a redemption of Nineveh. The steps that God took in one man's life to save the souls of 120,000 people and cattle. God will control all of creation to bring his loved ones back and to save those who are lost. So Jonah gets vomited onto dry land, and he gives Jonah a second chance. Second chance to do what he was told. So this time he goes. And the interesting thing, the message that he took from God was only 8 words. 8 words to save 120,000 people. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was his message. Wonder why only 8 words? Well, here's why. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's the word of God that changes people's lives, not the messenger. Jonah was just a messenger. Kind of went astray. We're all just messengers. We're called just like Jonah to share that message. The interesting thing also is that the king didn't have interaction with Jonah, but he heard through the word, and then he made his decree. So it came to him through the people. That's how God's word works. It goes to the hearts who need it. So what's the lesson for us in that part of the story? Is we are all called to spread the gospel and God's plan of salvation. You don't need to be eloquent in speech. You don't have to have every single verse memorized. You don't have to be a pastor or an elder. We simply need to be obedient to the calling of God to share what he's done in our life. Not in many sentences, many words, just sometimes the smallest gospel that you plant in someone's heart will grow. And God does the rest. In closing, I want to leave you with this. And we're not going to have a closing song, just so you know. So when I'm done speaking, I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed here. But I want to talk about obedience. Obedience brings peace and comfort enjoy, and it brings the fruits of the spirits, fruit of the Spirit, I mean, and faith and lack of fear, blessings without trouble, but most of all, obedience brings eternal life. And when we think about what example do we have of obedience, it's Jesus Christ himself. And I think, what example do we look at best? And I think it's the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 or Matthew 26, you can read all those Gospels. It's very similar. But you just think of Christ, who's God and who's man. As God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what the future held. But he had to go through it as a man. And he was so burdened and heavy laden with the burden of this that he went a stone's throw away, and it says he fell down to pray. His strength was tapped from him. And he knew, he said, Father, is there any other way? Three times he went and went back to that. Three times. It says he sweat drops of blood. That's a physical thing that can actually happen when the pressures inside the body push the blood out through the sweat capillaries. That is from tremendous blood pressure or stress or whatever. That's how stressful he was as a man. Because as God, he knew the pain of having your flesh ripped off your back by the scourge. Or the hours on the cross being hung and suffocating, and the crown of thorns, and as they slapped him and slugged him from behind and they pulled his beard out, he knew that was going on. And then he knew, as Tatiana said, that he was going to carry the sins of the world on his shoulders. And we hear his prayer. Is there any way to take this from me, Father? But not my will. Your will. Not my will. Not I will, I want it, but not my will, your will. Have we said that enough? Can we say it ever enough? Your will, not mine. That's the true meaning of Jonah, is that we have a will that we have to surrender. We have to be obedient. And even though we go astray, which we all will, God moves heaven and earth to bring us back. I want to leave you with that. Not our will, but his will for our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, just for the words today. Let us just understand what Christ did, the price he paid for us. It's so great that all he asked from us is just obedience to his word. In your strength, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can leave. It's okay to go now. Go and be good.